So Riri-chan, talked about her last week. She got sentenced to prison. She's going to go to prison. But of course, anywhere this girl goes, there's fallout. There's destruction and terror and mayhem. In previous stories, we actually mentioned the reason she didn't have all the money she had stolen fraudulently from men, scammed out of men, is because she was going to host clubs and giving the money to hosts. But there's a secondary crime there. I didn't really think about it much at the time, but it does make sense. One of the hosts she gave money to pled guilty today of the crime of receiving 25 million yen. Now, giving someone 25 million yen in itself is not a crime. But if you know that that money is ill-gotten gain, so if you know that the money you're getting is a result of a crime, receiving it is also a crime. So he knew, and we actually have the text messages from some of the earlier stories, he knew that she was getting the money from scamming men. They even said, like, as long as you make money, I make money, ha ha ha. That's a terrible joke. Don't ever make that joke. But because he knew that the 25 million yen he'd gotten was the result of fraud, that he is now not implicated. Words are gone already. Just dead. My brain's dead. I'm already gone. It's not complicit. So the punishment is yet to be determined. So this host basically sat around, was given a bunch of money from Riri-chan, and because he took that money and kept it, he's now, I don't know if he'll get prison time. He'll probably just get a big fine. I'm sure he'll have to give the money back or return it to the courts or something. I'm interested again what the punishments are. So Riri-chan got 8 years in prison and I think it was $12 million fine. But this will be a lower level crime. It'll be interesting to see what kind of punishment he gets for it. So again, last week, we're just having stories. They kind of repeat over and over again. We get these trends of stories. I actually don't do this on purpose, but like you would think that, oh, maybe I look for this kind of story. This kind of story happens and then I see it more often and I pay attention to it. That's not the case. But it seems like there are certain stories that just happen in like trends or seasons almost. Like the underwear stealing ones always happen in the summertime. But that's because that's when people have, you know, they can climb on balconies and stuff. We actually haven't done one of those stories in a long time. There was one this week, but it wasn't very interesting. Just old guy stole some underwear. Who cares? But we have the mayor who committed 99 acts of sexual harassment, had to quit. That has set off like a flurry of other people who've had to resign. So we have two mayors in Aichi. Aichi is a prefecture in Japan, who had to resign on the same day over sexual harassment accusations. So we have the mayor of Ikeda. He had to quit because of sexual harassment allegations. But he didn't say anything particularly interesting. He just kind of quit. The mayor of Togo City. Oh man, I love when they talk because it's always like it gives you a little bit of insight, a little bit of insight into what's going on in their head. So he said, an independent study has found that he was guilty of power harassment and sexual harassment since 2018 against multiple employees. He said things like, "You should die." And to a female employee, he said, "When will you get big boobs?" So then they say like, "Oh, you're guilty of this. This is a crime. Okay, you got to quit." So he quits. He resigns. He says, "I want to apologize. I'm ashamed that I was ignorant." Now, the dude is 57 years old. He should have known better by now. Like, if I had committed that crime, I don't think I would be like ashamed I was ignorant, because it's like, dude, I knew I was doing something wrong. I just thought I would get away with it. And that's kind of my thing. Do these guys really think they're going to get away with it? Like what is going on in their heads where it's like, I'm going to keep abusing people to the point where it actually becomes an issue. He's not sorry. Let's just be honest. He's not sorry. He's not ashamed. He wants to apologize because he lost his job. That's actually the only thing that's happening. Because later on, he said, in the same apology, this is his apology speech, he says, "Strong guidance is different from harassment." So he's not actually so sorry as he claims to be. He's not actually taking responsibility for the fact that he was ignorant. He's basically saying, like, look, maybe I said some strong stuff, but what I was really doing was guiding my employees. So let's take a look. We have a couple of examples of the statements he made. "You should die." That would be very strong guidance on how to deal with yourself, I guess. I'm just trying to decide what other information could I extract from that would actually make it seem like he didn't actually mean "you should die." "When will you get big boobs?" Now, if you were going to claim that was strong guidance and not some form of sexual harassment, you would have to explain to me how that statement translates into a better work performance. Now, the thing is, again, this old dude, you know what he's actually thinking is like, yeah, if you have bigger boobs, you know, people around you perform better or something. Like he's thinking something gross. I don't know. I think if you are making the apology, so you've had to quit your job, you make the apology. I think this is not the time to go and try to defend your actions or give an explanation as to why it's not really what it was. So the dude who committed 99 cases of sexual assault, sexual harassment, he tried to say like, man, I don't know what you guys are all so upset about, which I think is true. I think if you're actually taking like what he's saying at face value, I think that is actually true. He didn't know what the problem was. That's why he thought it was okay to sexually harass people all the time. This guy is in the same thing. He thinks that you should die and when will you get big boobs? He doesn't actually see that as sexual harassment or power harassment. He sees that as strong guidance and how to make your life better by appeasing him, and doesn't understand how the world works and really doesn't understand why he's being fired. Or in this case, he has to resign. He doesn't understand how this like third party organization looked into this and found him guilty. And in his apology, he's standing there going like, yeah, but you guys, you're all, you don't understand. I'm just like, I'm a direct speaker. I tell people the truth. Something I've actually always enjoyed is when people like claim they don't filter things, you know, like I'm a straight shooter and I call it like I see it, you know. Whenever those people are talking and whenever they make that's their excuse. Basically, they're saying, I say shitty things to people. It's always a very interesting technique is once they do that a couple times and you go like, that was a really awful thing to say. Well, like, you know, I tell people the direct truth, the unfiltered truth. I tell people, you know, what I think and what I see, and I'm honest. And you go, okay, so let's have some hard truths about yourself and then see what they say. Because people are very easy, like that kind of personality type always gives hard truths about other people. They're never willing to give hard truths about themselves, which actually shows that they're incredibly hypocritical because, you know, if they call it like they see it, they could see themselves being jerks and then call themselves out on it. Be like, yeah, I was a jerk and I apologize and I should take responsibility for that. Just like this guy didn't. Japan is having an issue. We have the yen has dropped significantly in value, and that is actually really good for tourists because tourists come over here, they can spend lots more money and get more value for the money when they convert. This has led to a problem of over-tourism. And so that's something Japan as a country is dealing with. Tourist numbers are now back to what they were pre-pandemic. And in some cases, they're actually exceeding what they were pre-pandemic because the yen is so cheap. People are like, oh, this is a great time to go to Japan. I can spend a lot of money and get my money's worth. It'll be really great. This has caused problems because tourists are not behaving like Japanese people, which makes sense. They're not Japanese people. So they don't abide by the same rules or they don't see things the same way. So one of the first things is garbage. Now, there are no garbage cans in Japan readily available in most places because they expect you to take your garbage with you. So Mount Fuji, people are taking stuff. They buy drinks and snacks and stuff and they just throw it on the trail. Well, Mount Fuji's been like, well, that's terrible. You're going to make Mount Fuji all covered in garbage. Someone has to clean it up. So instead of just like ignoring it or putting garbage cans, which would overflow, what they've decided to do is like, well, we're going to have to employ people to pick up garbage, which means we will now charge 2,000 yen for you to walk up the mountain. We did a story a month, maybe 2 months ago in Gion where the geisha are. And they have these like alleys that lead to their homes and the places where they train and stuff like that. Those are private and people were going in there and being rude. And one of the worst things was that they would like grab geisha and yank them over and like take selfies with them. The problem being that these are not there for, these are people. They're not there for your amusement. So just grabbing an individual, actually a crime in Japan. But these alleyways and stuff that lead to these private residences, they're actually private property. People are going down them being disrespectful. So they've blocked them off. They're basically saying like, if you come down here now, there's a fine. The latest one, there is this, what is considered to be iconic picture of Mount Fuji. And there's a Lawson in front of it. Lawson is a convenience store in Japan. And you can take this picture. This has become a very popular spot. Tons of people are coming here to take this picture. And local people are like, it's too much because they're blocking traffic because they're not paying attention to traffic rules. So they're walking out to the road because they want to get the best picture. There have been a couple stories of people like across the road climbing up onto the adjacent building so they can get a picture, and they want to get pictures without crowds in it and stuff like that. So this city has decided what we're going to do to solve this problem is put up a giant black curtain and block out the Lawson so you can't take a picture of it anymore. So they're like, you've gone so far as to bother the locals and cause problems for the police and whatnot. What we're going to do is you're going to block out the whole thing so you can't take your stupid picture anymore. How do you like that? And I actually, I'm a little like torn because it's a very reasonable response. I'm like, how harsh do you go on tourism? So these people come here and they want to have a good time. They are going to push the boundaries of what's acceptable. Is it acceptable to arrest them when they break the rules? Because they are breaking laws and stuff. Again, traffic laws are laws. But also it seems like a bit harsh. But is it also the right answer to just take away the thing? Everyone wants this picture, to take away this picture. It's kind of the Instagramification of tourism, where you're not actually going to have an experience. You're going to get these pictures so you can take the picture. Maybe have a picture of you standing in front of the convenience store, in front of Mount Fuji, that kind of thing. But the town's had enough, and they're going to block it off. My first thought was like, man, what if they did like a giant green screen? And then you could have Mount Fuji in this big green screen. You put other stuff there, which would, again, attract more people to do more nonsense. But maybe you do it once a year, have like a little celebration, a little festival, and be like, come see the giant green screen in front of Mount Fuji. But yeah, because people were just going buck wild, they're not going to be able to take their picture anymore. Japan still has a royal family, and I do not have a great deal of regard for royalty. I think that's a pretty fair thing to say. I don't have a great deal of regard for royalty because I don't think they do anything. Like, I actually am not against having royalty. I think, you know, again, for tourism and things like that, it actually could be beneficial for relations between countries. It could be beneficial. But overall, what I see is a bunch of people living off taxpayer money, contributing very little to nothing. So I'm not a big royalist in any way. So the empire, the royal family in Japan, the emperor and stuff, I don't actually care about them. 90% of people. Oh, one of the problems, before we get into the actual story, there's not enough boys. Population decline, issues like that. But in this family, there just aren't enough direct descendants who are male, and the emperor has to come from the paternal side, not the maternal side of the family. So because they don't have a male heir, the end of the empire, the emperor's family, could be on the horizon. And so they did a survey, and they found that 90% of people support having an empress, which I'm 100% on board with, because I don't care about the emperor, so why would I care if it was an empress? I actually think an empress might be pretty cool for a while. You know, again, try to change some of the traditional views of Japan. But of course, there's a 10% that are very, very against it. 72% of the people surveyed said they have a sense of crisis regarding the issue, which I actually find hard to believe. Because again, I don't think the royal family does anything. So if the royal family doesn't do anything, how can you have a sense of crisis? Like, if the royal family in Japan went away today, I don't think there would be any significant change to Japanese culture or society. Like, there would be another person you don't talk about who isn't doing that much. Because again, they do charity work and stuff. Again, this is where the benefit of royalty would come in. If they do charity work to help other people, if they do work to support the country or something. I don't know. I don't actually know, because I don't know what they do, because I don't care. So I found that number interesting, but then I realized if they're doing a survey and people are answering a survey about the royal family, there are probably people who care about the royal family. If you gave me a survey about the royal family, it would be 50-50 if I even bothered to fill it out. I care that little. So I'll bet a lot of people just didn't fill it out or didn't care about it. For the few people who disagreed that we should only have male heirs, what they're actually saying inadvertently, they don't realize this, is that we will actually kill off the royal family in Japan. Because if you have no heir at all, then the family line ends. When the family line ends, there's no one to take over. But they say that this goes against Japanese culture, because Japanese culture, traditionally, the heir is male, the male takes over. That is Japanese culture. And I agree, that is technically true. The issue for me is, again, they serve no purpose. Going beyond they serve no purpose, We're talking about a thing that needs to evolve with time. Now, if we're talking about traditional Japanese culture, well, traditionally the emperor did a bunch of stuff and was a ruler and things. They're not that anymore. They need to change with the times. And so changing with the times in this case could include, like, let's open it up to essentially whoever's available. They could be the next emperor slash empress. You want to talk about evolution? The royal family recently started an Instagram account. I did not bother to check it out because, again, I do not care what they do at all. Japan Rail East. So there's Japan Rail East, Japan Rail West, and Meitetsu, and there's a couple other railroad companies. But Japan Rail East, I found this very interesting. They're like, they have the problem of Karens and Kevins, people who overreact. It's not like an American thing. It's universal. There are people who overreact wherever they go. I'm not talking about tourists. I'm talking about just like, there's Japanese people. They behave this way to get what they want. They freak out. They think if they put enough pressure on people, if they harass people, they're just going to give in and get what they want. And they've been doing this their entire lives. That's how this sort of Karen mentality became to the forefront of culture. Was more and more people were doing this. This is how they were sort of getting what they want. This is how they're surviving. Now that we recognize it, people are starting to actually deal with it. Well, JR East has had people, they make unreasonable demands. They get physical. They demand that the staff get down on their hands and knees and bow, apologize to them and all this other garbage. Stuff that reasonable people would never ask you to do. They did quite nicely rephrase it as unruly customers. They've come up with an official policy. And the official policy is if you get out of hand, they're just going to ignore you, which I love as an official policy. So they'll talk to you. They'll try to help you. They'll try to do their best. I've actually 99% of my experiences on Japanese railways have been positive where I'm like, dude, I don't know where I'm going. I need help. And they will do their best to help you. I've only had one guy in 20 years, put me on the wrong train. And I don't necessarily think he did it on purpose. Either my Japanese wasn't good enough or he just wasn't really paying attention. I asked him a question and he just pointed to the train and I jumped on the train. It was the wrong train. So that I'm not chalking that up to him not doing a good job. Maybe he was busy. Maybe he was distracted. Maybe my Japanese was really poor. So I'm not even saying like the 1% that I am saying did not go well. I'm not putting that on the railway employee yet. I would have to go back and do research and stuff. He seemed very dismissive, which is why I put that margin of error in there. But my experience overall has been very positive where I ask for help and people do their best to help me. So it seems like if you're a reasonable person, you're going to get the help you need. So now if I get out of hand, so I get on the train station, I just start shouting at people and I maybe like shove people around a little bit, start throwing my weight because I'm a big boy. They're just going to be like, we're going to ignore you until you go away. And if you don't go away, they're just going to call the cops. And that's it. That's their official policy. And somehow I really enjoy that as an official policy. The official policy is like, if they go too far, ignore them. If they keep going, because that is going to set them off. This type of person, the thing that sets them off the most is being ignored. So it's going to set them off. They're going to go, ah, I can't handle. You're not, you know, bowing to my every whim. Ignore them. They'll get out of hand, call the cops, and get them arrested. So I expect an influx of people getting arrested because the train station at JR East is ignoring them stories over the next few weeks. And then it'll start to sink in. You're not going to be able to do this and get away with it. And then they'll kind of stop. At JR East, they're going to try it at JR West. They're going to try it at Meitetsu, the other train lines. And then it's going to just filter out over there. This is how we handle this problem. And a lot of people are going to get like taken away by the police. I don't think you're going to get jail time or anything, but they're going to like, if you have a train to catch, you are not catching that train. If you have something you got to do, you're not doing it that day. And I think more companies adopting this as an official policy would not be the worst thing ever.